our Bible, shall we? Two places. Acts chapter 20 is where we'll start. So have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 20, but then also 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand. Morning, Bella. Morning. Crack me up. Acts chapter 20 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. Thanks, Tim. Got about 20 minutes left. You're good at that. By the way, when you left last time, I threw you under the bus then, too. We got a lot to cover, so let's get started. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we have a hunger for your word and hunger for your truth. And I pray right now, Lord, that our minds would be like sponges, that our hearts would soak up each and every scripture, each and every truth that is found in your word, as the Apostle Paul continues to encourage his young protege, Timothy, Lord, to be used at the church of Ephesus and to make a difference. God, I pray that each and every one of us in this room would make a difference in our homes, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in our community, and in this world. And so I pray that this word today would encourage us, Lord, to hold on to your truth, to not let go, and to follow you wherever you take us. So we ask your blessings upon the scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Responding to the truth. Responding to the truth. Well, what is truth? See, some people speak of defending the truth. And, well, that's good and all, but really truth is not so weak that it can't defend itself. I mean, it's truth. Truth will prevail. What is needed most in the church and in the world is to defend, or excuse me, to declare the truth. We need to declare the absolute truth, the truth of God's word. Truth is of God, lies are of the devil. Someone once said the greatest friend of truth is time. Isn't that true? That as time goes on and we allow God's truth to penetrate our heart, he reveals to us his plan, his purpose, his will for our lives. A good friend said to me one time, patience is the weapon that forces the devil to reveal himself. And if we will allow time to pass and not be in such a hurry for the things that are going on in our lives, I believe God will reveal his plan and his purpose. But see, we don't want to wait, do we? We want it now, we want it today, we want it right this moment. We don't like to be patient. We need to be patient and understand that there's truth that God wants to reveal in your life, in my life. And the reason I've taken you to Acts chapter 20 is because God in his infinite wisdom already had told Paul that in these last days, there are going to be some that are going to let go of the truth. They're not going to follow the truth. They're not going to be obedient to the truth. And my question to us this morning before we read the scripture in Acts chapter 20 is that how do you deal with truth? How do you handle truth? See, I believe that sometimes the truth can hurt. Have you ever experienced that? But it may hurt for a moment, but over time, truth brings strength. Because when you're operating in the truth, when you're operating with the truth, you know you're in the right place. And so though maybe you have a friend or you have someone in your life who speaks truth into your life very confidently and very boldly, and sometimes it's hard to swallow that truth, you know deep down that that's what you need to hear. A true person who has a desire to live their life in obedience and to live under truth will take that counsel, take that correction, and hear that truth and apply it to their lives. And I say that because, listen, when we get into 1 Timothy, we're going to see some very dangerous areas of not holding on to the truth. And my question to us today, do we want truth? Do you want the truth? So help you God. Do you want the truth? Or is your heart in a place that I'll only take truth if it makes me feel good? Or do we want truth at all costs? The absolute truth. How you respond to the truth shows to others how strong your relationship is with God. Because truth, once applied to our lives, will produce fruit if we let it. And if we look at Acts chapter 20, and picking up in the, towards the end of the chapter, verse 28, Paul says here in verse 28, he had just spoken to them about telling them how he taught the entire counsel of God. And then he says in verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, those in the church, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this," and here it is, "that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men who will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears." Paul's heart for the church, is that stick to the truth. Because there is going to be a time that comes when those who don't believe truth are going to teach false doctrine. And that's what's happening in Timothy's day. Now, wouldn't you agree that's what's happening in our day? The truth about God, the truth that God exists, the truth that Jesus Christ came to the earth, the Son of God, to reconcile God to man, it's not truth, it's mysticism. That's what they're saying. They don't hold to the truth. They want to hold to mystical facts, if you ask me. They don't want to hold to the truth. I mean, I love the fact that God gave us a book so that we'd know it's true. And that his promises continue to be fulfilled. The prophecies that have been poured out through the ages that God continues to fulfill is proof that he's true. It's truth, my friends. And as we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to see that Paul is addressing the fact that, listen, there's going to be a time that's coming. And I believe it's the days that we live in. But he says that there's a time that's coming where they're not going to understand truth. And we're going to look at three things as it comes to responding to the truth. Real quickly, we're going to look at three things at how we're to respond to the truth. We're going to look at two sides of the coin, how we can look at truth and how we can respond to it. And then to the third point is going to be kind of our application of what we're to do with the truth if we are going to receive it. So let's look at verse 1, chapter 4. Read with me. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Truth. Paul's talking about truth. Give me your attention. The first thing when it comes to responding to the truth, as we see in these scriptures, Paul's addressing a certain group of people who, if you're taking notes, are ignoring the truth. They're ignoring the truth. They're not even paying attention to the truth. And that really is something that each and every one of us in this room has the responsibility to do, either receive the truth or ignore the truth. And these people that he's describing, Paul says, are the ones that no longer receive the truth. Notice what he says in the first verse. "Now the Spirit expressly says." This isn't Paul speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the Apostle Paul and through the Apostle Paul and says, in latter times, in later days, in the end days, in times past this, there are going to be those who depart from the faith. The thing I love about the Apostle Paul is he's always led by the Holy Spirit. And I just think this is a very important thing for us who are in this room and seeking the heart of God, seeking after the will of God for your life, is to listen to the Holy Spirit. As Tim so perfectly read that scripture, be still and know he's God. Because being still, knowing God, is being still and listening to the still, small voice of God. And that, my friends, is the Holy Spirit. I wish, just like you wish, that God would shout and scream and make it clear and write it down and give us signs. I was talking to someone not too many weeks ago. Says, I'm looking for God to give me a sign. And they explain the situation that happened in their life. And I'm like, that's a sign. Well, that's not the sign I wanted. Well, that's a sign. If you're asking God for a sign and he shows you the sign, but it's not the sign you want, that's a problem. If we're asking God, God, show me, God, direct me. If the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want you to do, then you do it. I don't care what anybody on the planet says. If God tells you to do it, you've got to do it. But listen, make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. Make sure it's not just your own desires. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And I know probably a majority of the people in this room would say, well, I've never heard the Spirit. I've never heard. If you've read the Scriptures before, you've heard the Spirit. This is revealed truth. This is the revelation of God. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Spirit speaks through the Scriptures. Now, for us who know the Scriptures, I'm not saying memorize, but those who understand some sense of the Scripture, God will use the Scriptures to confirm what he's speaking to you. God would never, by the Spirit, tell you to do something that goes against God's law, that goes against the true Scriptures of God. So to listen to the Spirit means to, is it the right Spirit? And we'll look at that in a moment. Is it the right Spirit? No, see, Paul says here, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, after Paul leaves, some will depart from the faith. What is depart from the faith? What is depart from? Does this mean once saved, now they're not saved anymore? Can you lose your salvation? Can salvation be taken? Listen, I used to believe once saved, always saved. But this scripture very clearly says there will be some that will walk away from the faith. And though I believe with all my heart that you cannot lose your salvation, you can leave your salvation. You can abandon your salvation. Just this week, I sat down with someone from our church talking to them. They're new to the ministry, talking about their relationship with their girlfriend and how their girlfriend's youth pastor, who taught this girl the Scriptures, who taught her about faith, who taught her about these things, this youth pastor is now living a homosexual lifestyle and very blatantly against the Word of God. Well, once saved, always saved? Really? Really? Paul says, to be sure to work out your own salvation. Every single day, you need to confirm in your heart that you still believe in Jesus Christ, that you still live for him. Some of the songs that Tim picked for us tonight, that I give you my life, I give you my all, I give you everything. It's an abandonment to God. It's saying, God, I love you. I thank you for dying on a cross for me. And now I want to live my life for you. That's salvation. To me, and this is just the way I think, don't make a doctrine out of it. Salvation, if you're truly saved, it'll be confirmed when you're in heaven. Because each and every day you have an opportunity to choose Christ. Each and every day you have an opportunity. Will I live for Christ or will I live for the flesh? Will I live in the Spirit or will I live in the flesh? That's the choice that you make. And someone who, when they were young or at a youth thing, they gave, you know, went forward and prayed the prayer, but then lives a lifestyle that goes absolutely against the Scriptures, can they be saved? I mean, the Scripture, John 10, verse 29, very clearly says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Nobody can take your salvation. Nobody can snatch you away from God, but you can walk away from God. And God is a gentleman. He's a man who says, listen, if you don't want to be in my family, fine. If you want to go to hell, that's your choice. And that's the truth, my friends. If you're either walking towards God or you're walking away from God. And that is something that you got to look into your own heart and into your own life. Am I being drawn closer to God? Because the Scriptures are very clear. Draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. Do you feel distant from God? Do you feel like he's not there? Do you feel like he doesn't listen? My friends, I think sometimes we just need to listen. We need to listen. And though I know many of us pray for months and years for certain things, and we don't seem like there's an answer, but there's an answer coming. We need to be faithful. And to trust God. How could anyone depart from the faith? I mean, think about it. If you've truly experienced the love of God, if you've truly been understand the forgiveness that you, how could you walk away from that? Well, look at right here, verse 2, I think it says. Or excuse me, it's in the middle of the first one. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It's not listening to truth, it's listening to lies. It's not listening to the truth of the Word of God. It's listening to the deception. Listen, we are in a spiritual warfare, each and every one of us today. If you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you're on fire for God, guess what? The enemy's going to try and trip you up. The enemy's going to try and take you out. And you need to know that, you need to believe that, and you need to realize that. Because there are going to be deceiving spirits. This word deceiving means to lead astray. The King James says seducing spirits. Seducing spirits, those who will draw you away from God. There's things in your life that are trying to draw you away from God. And the number one thing, many times, can be our jobs. The very thing that keeps us from a Bible study, keeps us from going to church, keeps us from reading our Bibles, because there's so much time we spend at work. And I see people nodding. Listen, the workplace is there to meet a need. Is to a means to an end, to provide your responsibility. It's tent making, as Paul says. Be sure that you use your workplace as a place for your faith to grow or your faith to be displayed. I used to work a lot, but I was a Christian. I mean, just invite God into your workplace. I mean, God doesn't mind being there with you. It's like, it's not said, oh, God only shows up at church. No, no, no. You bring God into your workplace when you go to your workplace. Because he's God's in your heart. How could they turn? By listening to deceiving spirits. This word giving heed to means to devote yourself to something. They devoted themselves to these false teachings. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, our first stop. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Pick up in verse 3. Paul says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve, like in the Garden of Eden, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the, listen, and you need to highlight this, from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Paul talks about being tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. You've got to know what you believe, my friends. And I speak this to all of us, but the young people in this room, do you know what you believe? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Do you know what you believe? Do you know what's in your heart? Do you know what you are giving your life to? Because listen, there's a lot of other things out there that are ready to distract you. And how many stories have we heard of young people going to college and then walking away from their faith? Because why? Because they're thrown into the den of lions. Well, you've got to be strong enough to know that you're going to be an influencer and not be influenced. And that's what Paul's saying here. I'm concerned that you're going to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I got to tell you, sometimes I look at Christianity and I go, it's just so simple. And I know that seems great, but there's simplicity in Christ. God, we are sinners. You're a sinner. And God realized that. He set the Ten Commandments that you to follow these, to depend upon him. And knowing we cannot meet those needs, knowing that that was a display of our shortcoming to be in right relationship with God, he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that when we believe in him, we get to have right relationship with God. Simple. Simple when you know it. Simple when you understand it. I think many times Christians want to make it hard. It's like, do we need to kneel on rocks in order to really be praying? Do we really need to suffer for Christ? Do we need to really be in pain? I don't believe so. I think the simplicity in Christ is like, listen, there's going to be bad days, there's going to be good days. There's going to be tough times, there's going to be easy times. But we're saved. We're Christians. We're to act like Christ. And our behaviors, do they line up with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you constantly being renewed in the your thought life, in the hearts, the quiet times? Are you being drawn towards Christ? Paul says, this is the simplicity of it. The simplicity that is in Christ, that you're going to maybe walk away from it. And I believe if you can walk away from Jesus, then you never really had him. And that's my conviction. If you're saved, you're saved and you're radically saved and you're going to live for the Lord. If you're kind of saved, then you just want a ticket to go to heaven and not have to suffer. You're not really living for the Lord. It's just simple, guys. It doesn't have to be tough. It's so important to stay grounded in the truth. That's why pastors say read your Bibles every day. That's why the Bible says read the Bible every day. That's why you're to pray, so that your mind gets off of your stuff and gets upon the Lord. Because that's where your strength comes in. That's where your source of strength should come from. Not the influences of the world. Going back to 1 Timothy, he goes on in verses 2 and 3 and basically lists out their behavior. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. What are they teaching? They're teaching that you shouldn't marry. That it's more holy if you stay single. Well, that goes against the word of God. And God himself, right from the beginning in Genesis, said it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. God created marriage in the beginning. And for us to say you're less holy if you're not married, that goes against the word of God. Or more holy if you're not married. That goes against the word of God. Paul said it this way, for I wish that all men were even as I myself, speaking about his singleness. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they would remain even as I am, meaning single. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Listen, I've sat down with some guys who I've prayed for a wife for a long time. But I've also said, have you ever thought of that God maybe has called you to singleness? And one guy said to me, I think about women too much. I go, well, then there you go. But to consider the fact that maybe God has called you to it. What was Paul saying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? He's saying, listen, if you can stay single and devote yourself 100% to the Lord, it's better. It's better. If you're married and have children, you are devoted to God, but you also have a responsibility for your spouse and you have a responsibility for your children. You have to divide your time. So Paul is saying it'd be better to stay single if you want to serve the Lord with everything that you are. Where those who are married. But these teachers are saying, don't get married. You're more holy if you don't get married. And that's not true. That goes against God's heart. God created them to be one. It was a picture of God and the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit being connected with believers. It's a marriage that happens in the Spirit. That was the representation. That is a man and woman becoming one flesh shows us the love of God, the grace of God. He talks about here speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hard iron. Listen. Our conscience is that thing that should be that determination of whether we're doing right or we're doing wrong. If you really have a pure conscience, when you do something that goes against God, you're going to feel bad about it. These false believers were so far from the truth that their convictions were seared. They couldn't even feel the conviction anymore, and they're making all these bad choices. Case in point, televangelists. They're great, aren't they? This one televangelist sends a letter to a man who's dying of cancer. And he says this, if you will contribute just a little more money to my television ministry, I guarantee you will be healed. The problem with this is the letter came 6 months after the gentleman died. Do you know his widow sued him and actually won? So not only did this minister not get any money, he had to spend money. But how can we be like that? How can you get to that place where you can send a letter like this? Listen, I can't guarantee God will do anything in your life. I can guarantee God will bless your life if you're obedient to him. But I can't guarantee he'll do this or that next week. Only he can guarantee. And the only reason this can happen is because they're seared conscious that they don't have a heart for people. They may have a heart for money. And I just shared this with another brother of mine who's in ministry, and he's feeling a little discouraged and a little defeated because of, you know, the numbers or what's going on in the ministry. And I said to him, I said, listen, you need to forget all about that, and you just make sure your heart is for those people you're ministering to. And let me tell you, if our hearts can be right before the Lord, if your heart can be pure before God and say, God, all I want is what you want. God, all I want to do is bless your name. Then you know that God will honor that. But if your heart is in a way, God, I want to do this as long as you do this for me, well, then that's putting requirements on God. Don't do that. Keep your heart pure before the Lord. Let's look at the test, and that looks like we'll close right here. Gosh. 1 John chapter 4. How do we know, if we're talking about these deceiving spirits, if we're talking about doctrines of demons, because listen, we have doctrines in the house of God. There's truths that we believe. Well, in the demonic realm, there's the same thing. There's beliefs that they have. And we want to make sure that we have that discernment, and this is what I'm going to leave you with, is this discernment of how to test the spirits, whether you know or not whether they're from God. 1 John chapter 4, this is 1 John, not the gospel. 1 John chapter 4, look at the first verse. Beloved, do not be believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you're unsure about any relationship that you're in, if you're unsure about any business that you want to get involved in, you want to make sure, what is this, of God or is it of the enemy? You make sure that they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how you know, because the demon can't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the test to determine between the two. And to ask. I remember hearing a girl tell a story that she had this dream. And she felt, and it was as real as can be, she said, but she felt like there was this person standing at the foot of her bed. And she, in the dream, she woke up and she looks and sees this thing, and she had this kind of sense of fear. And she just tests the spirit. She says, are you of Jesus? Are you of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? She just spoke to the spirit, and poof, it was gone. Why? Because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have authority to test the spirit. Is it of Jesus? I hear it all the time. Oh, they're a very strong Christian. Oh, they're a strong believer. How do you know that? Well, they tell me. Does their life line up to the life of Christ? Is there humility there? I'm just amazed at the tool of the enemy of pride that rises up in the hearts of men and women. If you're of Jesus, if you're committed, you're not going to have a spirit of pride. You're going to want to say, God, take that spirit from me. I think there's a difference between pride and boldness and confidence. But I think there's also, it's to him be all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Let's go back to 1 Timothy, because I can't leave you on this negative note. I feel like this is such a downer. Ignoring the truth is what causes false teachers to go astray. If you ignore the truth, you will get off track. You need to stay in the truth. Stay there. Number two, and we'll go look at this more next week. But number two is inviting the truth. Look at verse 4 with me. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Inviting the truth. What I'm getting at here, listen, when Paul says, for every creature of God is good, the better translation to me says this. Everything created by God is good. Everything created by God. That word creature could also be creation. Okay, or every creation of God is good. And let's not forget what James says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What God makes is good, my friends. And if you invite the truth into your life, God will use your life. And I want to say this before we go. The things God creates, if they're good, if he's creating something in you, it's going to be good. Though we may have made mistakes in the past, though you may have made mistakes in the past, God can change it. He can change the surface and make it good if you let God create it. Get your hands off of it. Whatever it is that you want God to do in your life, whatever it is you're asking the Lord to show you, to give to you, make sure it's he that creates it. Listen, we know God's busy, but he can do it. Let him do it in your life. Let him create something good in you. So I leave you with this. Are you ignoring the truth? Is the truth keep coming up? Do Christians keep talking to you about the Lord? Do Christians keep speaking to you? And you're going, that's foolishness. Are you ignoring the truth? Or are you a person that's inviting the truth? Lord, if you're there, listen, I've heard a lot of prayer. God, I don't believe in you, but if you're true, reveal yourself. And if you're sincere about that, guess what? He will. He'll show up in an amazing way in your life. What's God creating in you? And you may look at your past and say, man, it's a lot of destruction. And I know I said I was closing with that, but I want to read this story. Got anywhere to be? A young man at the age of 16 was forced to live in slavery for 6 years in Ireland under horrific circumstances. After 6 years, he managed to escape and return home, only to be called by God to go back to the very place that enslaved him. And after 30 years of preaching St. Patrick, God used him to transform Ireland from a pagan country to a believing one, from chaos to peace. He died at the age of 76, and you ask, how did he get through? And I want to read you one of his letters that he wrote. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me. Christ shield me today against wounding, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ears that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Patrick. On March 17th, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And there's a lot of green stuff. But I was amazed to find out that this was the man who preached the Lord Jesus Christ to Ireland and changed that country. That's what we need to celebrate. The fact that this man writes this, they say it's a prayer. They don't know if it's a prayer or what. But can you imagine praying this prayer every day? God before me, God behind me, God to my left, my right, above me, below me. Even when someone thinks of me, may they think of Christ. Wow. Think of the impact that that would have on your own life. Think of the impact that would have. Just think, God, I want you to be everywhere. That's the most important thing. And if we're really going to respond to the truth, we're going to ask ourselves, am I receiving the truth or am I fighting against the truth? And listen, even believers can fight against the truth. Even those who love the Lord can say, oh, God, no, don't call me to that. That's going to require too much work, God. But I've found in my life, the more I let go, the more I give to God, the more he does through me. And that's the beauty of it. Do you have him in your heart? Have you received the truth? We're going to close in prayer and give you the opportunity today to make a commitment to Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that never changes. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that through the truth, we can be set free. God, I pray for all of us in this room. for those times, Lord, when we don't want to hear your voice, when we want to ignore what you're saying. God, I pray, forgive us. God, let us hear what you have to say. Let us understand what you have to say. Let us discern what the Spirit has to say. Because we believe we're in those latter times when there are many, not just some, there are many that refuse and that have walked away from faith. God, help us to run to faith. Help us to run to the truth. Help us to embrace the truth. For that is what will carry us through in these last days. Until you call us home, God, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with the love of Jesus Christ. Help us, God, not to live apart from you, but to live with you. We love you, Lord. Bless our day. Bless our lives. Bless our families. Bless all that we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.